Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Benson's in front. Here's Dahlin with a shot. Benson right on the doorstep. They score! Dylan Cousins to the net. And after the goal, Benson and Sundqvist to the glass. And the linesman come in to separate the two of them. But this game is tied at three.
Or was it? That goal would eventually be disallowed. But
I feel dumb now playing that because I thought that.
The Sabres, though, they do tie it. Eventually, and get to overtime and win it on the power play while they needed extra time. That was how it got it done. I do find it funny that Evan picked the one that didn't count, but it's still noteworthy and and an interesting call. Oh, no, I'm not going to clown on you for it. It was just funny. Funny in like the, yeah, that's right. Not in the...
It should have counted, but...
Yeah. You should have counted.
Joe Yerden talk about it.
We'll let Joe talk about that. But real quick, there's something that always irritates me.
Oh boy, here we go.
You know what? We'll have Joe listening in on this while I get all old and punchy here today. I'm apparently just a crabby cake today. but I saw a tweet from Kevin O'Neill, and it kind of like it rubbed me the wrong way because it goes, "Welcome to Buffalo Chiefs Kingdom. If you want the best wings in town, go where the locals go. You got to check out Rappelby's in Lockport, best around." Or maybe, we should allow other fans and people that don't live here actually be able to experience what's cool and unique and different about here. So that there's not the lazy, haha, all you have is snow and Applebee's to do around here. Like, no. Let's actually tell people of good places to go so that they can experience our city in a favorable light. Like, don't take it too seriously about a football rivalry. Like, no, let's actually let people enjoy what we do, who we are. Because we're a mess, but we're a fun mess. We are degenerates. Am I right, Joe Yerden?
Yeah, of course. We are. I support you wholeheartedly on that, Derek. Yes, send people to the fun places, send people to the good places, because that's how mad would you be if you went to Kansas City? Well, you'd probably be mad in the first place, but if you went to Kansas City and somebody told you to go to, like, oh, you want some good barbecue? Well, Outback Steakhouse is right there.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
Let's actually, like, promote the things that are actually good around here and, like, it's something you can only get here. That was something, like, I saw it. I'm like, I know we have Joe Yerden coming up next, but, like, I got to make a PSA about this because it was mad. Like, I was mad about it. But you know what's not making me mad, surprisingly, Joe? For the first time in a while, what an intro to the Buffalo Sabres as we have Joe Yerden on the Western Hotline. The Sabres aren't making me mad because hell or high water, win or lose, Joe, the last thing that you can ever call the Sabres this season is a boring hockey team.
Yeah, no, they're not, even when teams are trying to make them boring. Like the Blues tried really hard to do that the other night. That was I felt bad for the ESPN audience because the Blues did their best to really kind of slow things down, slow the Sabres down at least anyways. But a really nice comeback, a punchy game in the end, which honestly, it's good you played the disallowed goal because I think that's really the turning point of the game because I think Buffalo was just kind of like not really snoozing through it, but like they were – finding it tough to kind of get the motors running, and that snapped him out of it really quick. I mean, I'll choose to believe it was watching Dylan Cousins stiff arms Oscar Sundquist behind the net to get out front to score that goal that wasn't a goal, but that really got him going, and that's we've seen them find ways to kind of, you know, rally up in these moments, and it's a nice change. It's a very pleasant change to see that in the face of, you know, bad calls, bad judgment, you know, iffy situations. We're seeing them, instead of sulk and get run off the ice, we're seeing them fight back.
Fighting back is definitely one of the big keys here, because, like, even in that Montreal loss, oftentimes in that game, the Sabres were responding almost immediately to what, all but one of the goals that they had, of pretty much like being punchy, being a little bit more gritty. And Joe, something that I'm seeing from this team now, finding ways to get points, which is last year one of their biggest weaknesses.
Yeah, the inability to get games to overtime last season was hurt them very badly. It was something that helped keep them down in the standings. And, you know, when they sort of rallied last season to get within punching distance of the playoffs, just every close game wound up being losing by a goal, or were just, you know, basically just losing by a goal. Because, as I say, it wasn't like there was a lot of like coin flip type games where it's like, oh, they pulled that one out. It was, if they were down in a game, they weren't getting overtime. They weren't getting that goal to, like, kind of push it and get that extra 5 minutes, you know, or if they were up by a goal, they were winning that game. They, you know, which is good. You don't want to steal a point when you got two in the bag, supposedly. But that's a key thing. You'd rather see them do it in moments where they're fighting back in it. You don't necessarily want to see them, you know, cough up a lead in the third period to go to overtime. We've seen that happen. We saw it happen a couple of times this year already. But they're finding ways, and I think that's, you know, we stopped saying that they've learned lessons, that they're learning. Like, we stopped saying that 2 years ago. But it's a process, and, you know, with a young group, and yeah, they're young, they're experienced, but they're young. Still got to find ways to learn how to do it, and they're doing it.
Joe Yurden joining us here on the West Hur Hotline. Joe, of course, one of the things that I'm really starting to take notice in is, in those tight situations, it seems like Lindy Ruff, tactically, is counting on a revolving door of three defensemen there, in Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, and Bowen Byram. What have you seen from them so far, and the trust that the coach seems to have in them, that they're getting heavy, heavy minutes in critical situations and almost force-feeding them more minutes than we could have ever expected in tight situations?
Well, I think what I'm seeing when that happens is that we're seeing the best of those guys come forth. You know, yes, it's a rotation, but when you've got three guys like that, I mean, those are three really good defensemen to be able to work with on a team, and shortening the bench to a point where it's those three, you know, just going, and, you know, in those last, you know, last 10, 15 minutes of a game, like, yeah, it's taxing. And those guys see a lot of minutes. I mean, we saw Byram pull down 32 minutes a couple of games ago, which is staggering. That's a lot of ice time for an early season game. But if the guys are playing well, you just go back to them. And Lindy, I think Lindy's done that in the past with other teams. You know, if he's got guys that he knows he can count on, he's going to go to them. And that's a position that's earned by how well you play, and those guys have earned it. You know, and I know, like, anytime a guy makes a mistake, it's, you know, it sticks out in your mind more, but, you know, I look at the way that those guys play together. They manage the game so well, they handle things at the defensive end well, and they're able to push the play the other way when it's time to. And you need to have guys that you can bank on, and that you can trust in these situations. And, you know, yeah, the minutes are big, and, you know, maybe you'd like to have another couple of guys that you'd feel good about putting out there. But, you know, Lindy, you know, we're in the second month of the season here. You know, Lindy's still kind of getting to know a lot of these guys, which sounds a little crazy to say, but it's, you know, it's true when it comes to game situations and how some of these guys handle it in crunch time. Like, that's, it's something that you got to learn. It's something you got to figure out as time goes on. And, you know, when you've got guys like that, though, I mean, the pedigree that they've got and the ability that they have and how talented they are. Go back to them. I think it would drive people nuts if you saw, you know, if you saw like your fourth line and your third line pair out there in the final minute of a game trying to hold it down.
Joe, with the defensemen, and this is something that this is my hill to die on right now. If I ever hear anyone this year saying Owen Power is not good at hockey, I'm like just rejecting the rest of their message and saying you don't know ball. This looks like it is the coming out season for Owen Power. Already 13 points this season, none of which on the power play, which Dahlin has a couple of that in his hat to hang on. But Power has been all even strength, 13 points, but also clearly looks like the best defender when it comes to breakouts and leading them for offensive zone time, and also really kind of growing into his game.
But Derek, he doesn't hit guys. He doesn't fight people. You know, how can you be 6'5" and not hit anybody? You can be 6'5" and not hit anybody when you play the way he does. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. The hockey IQ, and you know, that can be a bit of a cliche thing, but his hockey IQ is absolutely through the stratosphere. He's plays the game so smart, and he does so many of the little things right. You know, it's not laying the big hit or taking a shot that's 110 miles per hour or something like that. It's using your stick in the right way to deny an entry or to make a guy take the longest route possible to try to get around you and it blows the play up. Or it's getting in a position, getting your feet set and your stick in a position to deny a guy making any kind of pass. Never mind like a pass to set up a shot attempt. Any pass. Like, he does all of this stuff with ease, and he's a chess master playing defense back there. And that's, I guess it should be expected of a guy that you take first overall. But when you see it in action and you see it in practice and you see how he does things, it's really, you almost have to prepare your own mind to watch how he does it, because you get so accustomed to how different guys play defense, where it's, you know, a guy will lay the body, or he's taking the big shots, or, you know, or he's just rushing up and down the ice like a madman. Owen does all of that he does it at a pace and a speed where he's calculating everything. It's really something else to watch, and it's cool. Like, it's making playing defense that doesn't look cool really cool. And like, it's, I guess that makes it cool in its own different way, but it's really something else to watch how he does this. And it's all very just kind of, you know, you talk to him about it, it's all just very kind of matter of fact. He's going, yeah, well, of course it did that. Well, okay. I'm not going to learn anything out of this because I'm not at your level when it comes to hockey. It's just, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Joe, taking a quick look at the offense here, Tage Thompson, of course, has been out, but production is still there on the top line. What do you make of the top line play, and do you see that even improving more when Tage comes back from when he was healthy earlier in the season as they kind of get their feet under them?
Oh, yeah. No, Tage has been awesome this season, and the injury is unfortunate, of course, but watching him play the way he has this year, I mean, we missed out on a lot of that last season because the hand, arm, wrist injury that he had, you know, midway through last season that took away a lot of what makes him a very unique, special player. You know, it's the shot, it's the dangles, it's all that stuff. But healthy and playing like this is something else, because and he just reeks of confidence. It's having the confidence to be able to make those moves and to be able to deke a guy out of his boots and to take a shot and rip shots at 105 miles an hour from in close and all that stuff. It's having him going is something else to watch too. But it's more of that visceral, like, oh man, here he goes. Let's, you know, he's going to do something wacky here. He's going to do something incredible. And you know, it's been fun seeing the debate pop up about whether he should be on the Four Nations face-off team or not for Team USA. And I don't know, man. it's like having a very special weapon out there to have a guy like that with his size and ability. But you're right. The scoring has stayed up, and you know, it's him and Tuck working well together. It's, you know, whether it's Benson or Paterka on that left side. It's a nice mix of grit and skill and ability that they all have to make it really work. And, you know, and Tuck and Thompson have their similarities with, you know, with the reach and the size and all that. But Tage is the guy, man. When he is rolling, he is extremely difficult to stop, and he's a lot of fun to watch.
Joe Yurden joining us again on the Wester Hotline. Tage being fun to watch, I've really enjoyed, I mentioned breakout with Owen Power. I've really loved what J.J. Paterka has also been able to do this year in terms of a breakout campaign. He is one of two players on this team that's going point per game pace right now. But Joe, the big thing that is that's kind of gotten my interest now is, this is going to be a two-part thing. Ryan McLeod, the trade of Matt Savoy for McLeod, and how that helped this middle six rapidly improve. A, what has been your impression with McLeod and the addition of Jason Zucker, just to add that in there? But then two, I just said A and two. I love it, Joe. I'm great. But but the second thing, of course, being, though, does this embolden Kevin Adams, who's been headlined in multiple reports now from Elliot Friedman, Darren Dreger, of wanting to add, does the success of a Ryan McLeod trade embolden him to make another deal while he still has a lot of prospects in the cupboard?
I'll start with the second one first. He being able to make a big trade is he's had that ability for a long time. Now, when you've got the number of prospects that they have, and you've got, you know, I don't know that they've got quite as many of surplus of picks as they did the last couple of years, but when you've got that number of guys, I've said for a long time that any trade that Adams might want to pursue, he could do. It's just, you know, teams are going to want to take the iron price out of them, and you know, they're going to be like, well, if you want this guy, it's going to take three of those guys, and you know, that's a non-starter. But if he's competing with other teams to try to get a big player, a key contributor, he can just say, oh, well, I've got this guy, and that's better than anything the other teams are going to offer, because we know they're good and you know they're good. Success with those trades should not be the reason it emboldens him. Yes, it's nice to be able to make a good trade, but he knows. I'm positive Adams knows this as well. He knows he can make a trade when he needs to with the guys that they have. It's just a matter of not getting, you know, hung out to dry on it and having to give up too much to do it. Like, there's a point to draw, and everybody wants to get the most out of you. So I get it. When it comes to McLeod, though, you know, a lot of us online, there was a lot of people online who said that the Sabres got absolutely wrecked on the deal. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's very eager to dig up those tweets for those that did. But when you know, those of us that like to dip around in the advanced numbers and all that stuff, we looked at what McLeod did in Edmonton, and, you know, the fancy stats jump off the page, and, you know, the speed goes with it, the defensive smarts and everything that goes with it. And you start looking at this going like, I think this is actually a really good trade. And people say, you know, people go, oh, well, he just did that with McDavid and Dreisaitl. That's all that he did. And it's, you know, the guy never played with him. He just happened to be a part of a line that did all the shot generation and the shot suppression on his own, honestly. And seeing him in a role now where it's, you know, yes, be defensive, but also you can play some offense. You can push the game the other direction and go with it. It's been great. It's, and you know, the heads up pass that he makes to Tuck in the last game, like that's just knowing, that's knowing your guys, knowing who's with you, and also understanding, you know, reading and knowing how a goalie's going to react when you start tracking behind the net, and knowing that, you know, Binnington was going to slide over as hard as he did, but you know, making that pass to Tuck was just, that was impressive. But he's been great all season long, and that's, you know, we'll see what Savoy becomes in his career, but right now this is an absolute runaway win of a trade for the Sabres, because McLeod has been an absolute perfect fit with this group.
Now, of course, we can't, you know, highlight everything that's been going on with a team that is inconsistent with them without pointing out a couple problems, Joe. The biggest of which being Jack Quinn must have been pushed into an alternate dimension and some doppelganger is in his place.
You know what? I like that reasoning because that at least gives
I'm bargaining with myself here.
You know, it's, I'll say this about Jack, having two absolutely brutal injuries to the same leg within a calendar year probably would have some longer run effects, is my guess. You know, he tears his Achilles and then he breaks his leg, ankle, whatever it was in that San Jose game last season, you know, pretty much right after he had come back from the Achilles. Like it's a lot to deal with. And, you know, we sometimes forget that Jack Quinn is still very young. And, you know, for having a guy that had to deal with those two injuries, you know, basically within a year. And, you know, he had a sports hernia surgery a couple years ago and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And guys come back from that relatively easily. So, but still, it gets in the way of being able to do things and being on the ice and working out and doing all that stuff. And in Quinn's case, I mean, Quinn played great when he came back last year. And then, yeah, you know, it was horrible luck. And I think what we're seeing now is that, you know, it's a very long process. You know, the Achilles injury especially is a very long time to get back to be normal. You know, to get back to normal from that. And, you know, you throw a broken leg into the mix on top of that. And it's just like, oh, geez. Like, it's, you know, it's tough to see, but it's, you know, it's the chain reaction of, you know, your body's not cooperating with you. And then, you know, you're not playing, you feel like you're not playing the way that you should. And then your confidence drops. And then all, you know, it all congeals together into this, into a mess where you're just not playing the way that you know you can. And like, you can get caught in a cycle like that. So I think Jack just needs, you know, to get some good shifts per game, generate some opportunities, you know, get some helpers, do some things like that to, you know, pick them up, get the confidence going, and then they can go from there. We're seeing Dylan Cousins coming out of it right now. So that's going to be huge because him and, you know, he and Quinn play together quite a bit. So you get a couple of guys that are going on that line, like Benson and Cousins are playing really well together. Quinn's going to be along for that ride too. And those guys are going to pick him up. And I feel very confident saying that about Quinn. I've been beating the drum for Quinn to have a monster year, so I'm kind of riding with it now. But it's hard to see because you know what the guy's been through, and you know that there's more, you know, there's better play, there's more to come from him, and it's just a matter of when it comes. And it's, you know, listen, it's a long season. We're I don't think we're 20 games into it yet. I don't think so. I know there's a long way to go yet, but it's been tough. But it's I feel good about him that it's going to turn around at some point.
Looking ahead here, there's a West Coast road trip coming up, Joe. Couple notable injuries. I mean, we mentioned Tage Thompson, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen as well, Jordan Greenway. Do you see those players being available at some point on this West Coast trip, or do you think they'll still be waiting to come back?
If I had to gamble any little amount of money, like if I bet a quarter somebody, it's about as much as I'm willing to gamble, honestly. I would bet we'd see Lucan and Thompson in the lineup Wednesday against the Kings. Thompson's been doing rehab skates. Lucan was in practice yesterday. So I feel pretty good about that. Lindy said yesterday that Lucan was feeling good. He could go today if they really needed him, but they don't have to press it. So, you know, they just got James Reimer back on waivers, so there's no need to rush him into a position where he could play. I mean, I'm saying that now. Who knows? Maybe he backs up tonight, but I doubt that. But there's no need to rush him right back into duty. I mean, I wonder if maybe they feel a little bit bad about rushing him out there after he got a little bit banged up in practice and things didn't go the way that they hoped in that game. So they're just being smart with that. And Thompson, whatever the issue is, he's been skating the last couple of days. He's feeling fine. So, I know people freak out when they see a guy goes on IR, but he went on retroactively to the last game that he played. So he'll be eligible to come back in California. So that's not a problem. Greenway, no idea what the deal is there. I totally missed him leaving the ice in practice yesterday until we looked around and said, "Hey, where's Jordan? Not on the ice anymore." So, we'll see what happens. Lindy didn't seem terribly concerned about that, but yeah, Yuri Kulik's back up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Joe, of course, thank you as always for your time. I always appreciate talking to you, and I always appreciate when you, even if late, it was perfectly fine that you got back to me. So, I always appreciate being able to talk to you though. So thank you as always. And, If there's anyone still living under a rock, or if there are people that are just like, "Hey, Joe Yurden's pretty cool. I should probably follow what he's doing." Where's Joe Yurden putting everything up these days?
You can go to notedhockey.com. Most of my Sabres writing is going on there, although I did have a piece mentioning the Sabres today on bleacherreport.com this morning. I believe it went up this morning. I'm pretty sure I wrote it, so it should have gone up. But yeah, notedhockey.com, bleacherreport.com. Find me over at Blue Sky, staying off the other site for probably the foreseeable future. Blue Sky, at my name, Joe Yurden, and the rest of the Blue Sky handle. It's you can actually look up my name on Blue Sky and find me there, as opposed to the other place where I get not found sometimes. So yeah.
Yeah, I actively typed it in, and it didn't give me Joe Yurden. That's not
I can
cool.
guarantee it's only me on there with that name. My dad's not on there, I think, and I think the other five Joe Yurdens in the world. I don't know that any of them are on there, but what do I know?
Yeah, right. Elon must pay for his crimes.
I'm gonna not say anything because whatever.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
There's another pod for that sort of thing, probably. You know, we could probably put some nonsense on the side for that.
Yeah, yes.
Joe, thank you as always. I always appreciate you, and I can't wait for a couple of weeks from now when you get your quintessential 18 million texts and tweets and blue skies to you about Bills Lions coming up.
Yeah. You know, I've had some folks tell me they really hope to see Bills Lions in the Super Bowl, and I go, no, I would like to keep living in Buffalo. So, yeah.
it would become protect Joe Yurden at all costs, win or lose.
No, or it would be run him out of town with pitchforks and torches, either way. So, yeah.
No, because then I would get Joe Yurden celebrating the Detroit Lions, and I do think I would like seeing that.
I mean, at the Bills' hands, though, I don't think you'd want that.
I mean,
if that were the case.
You know what the game is. I have to be some kind of impartial. Some kind, maybe.
I mean,
I could turn it off.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Turn it off. Pretend it's not happening.
I could turn it off. I could be proud for my friend. How's that?
That, you know what? If you can do that, I am proud of you.
I'm proud of myself. I know I could do it. Joe, thank you as always. And like I said, happy to call you a friend, and not just a friend of the show, but a friend in general. We'll be reaching out, of course, sometime soon for you.
You got it, Derek. Thanks for having me, man.
That's Joe Yurden on the West Her Hotline. Noted Hockey. Go find his stuff. It's worth it paying the subscription for Noted Hockey. Joe has always been bringing great content since he's been here, and you just heard him. He doesn't want to leave here, so maybe we should stay tuned to that.
Yes.
But I'm also genuinely terrified of a Bills-Lions Super Bowl. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail coming up next, because we are over the break, but that's perfectly fine, because I love hearing Joe Yurden talk about the Sabres, talk about hockey. And
very insightful.
Always bringing the knowledge.
As someone who, you know, follows hockey but is more of a football aficionado than a hockey nerd, it's very interesting to hear the breakdown. He's very good.
No, Joe's very good with the breakdowns. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the old reliable box, there's Joe Yurden. So, and we have our guys too. Like, we have Brian.
Everybody's got a guy. Yeah.
At the station, we have Brian. Right. We have Paul.
We have our built-in. Yeah.
Like, those guys know their hockey. And I still, like, again, you know, I'll get them whenever they're available as well. So that's going to be fun, by the way. Brayton will be doing 12 to 1 on Thursday and Friday in lieu of Sabres Live. And he should have Paul with him. That'll be great radio. So
that'll be good.
That'll be great radio. I'm excited for that, actually. Genuinely happy. More Paul Hamilton here on the airwaves is always fun. He's a fun guy. All right. Let's get to break, though. We've got a lot still to do in not as much time. 803-0550. Are the Sabres a playoff team? And also, to open up the question of, hey, how you feeling about this game? Does it matter as much now? Or are you a little numb to Bills and Chiefs in the regular season? We'll get into that a lot more now coming up here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. You're listening to WGR.
He's a very good player, playing with Patrick Mahomes for a while, and the chemistry is undeniable. So just making sure that we can affect that chemistry, you know what I'm saying, with either the rush or how we're playing Kelce, just making sure that we can disrupt that.
Bills cornerback Taron Johnson, he's got a lot to do.
Yeah, big opportunity for him for a big game.
I mean, I wouldn't call it opportunity, it's a challenge. You know, like, he's one of the best in the league at what he does, but it's going to be a tough one for him because it's the Chiefs and Mahomes, and who knows what kind of voodoo, wizardry, and BS the Chiefs have in their sleeves this time around. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. Bills Chiefs about to get going tomorrow afternoon in the 4:25 game, CBS.
The CBS primetime.
CBS primetime, national broadcast. They're bringing their entire crew here, and I'm happy to see it for the sake of just highlighting the city again. You want to highlight the big things about, you know, where we live, what we like to do, what we can do, the great places you can go. The game itself, I'm towing a very dangerous line.
You don't care.
Admittedly, it's not completely I don't care. It's that I care about a lot of things more than a Bills win on Sunday. I care more about the Bills getting out of this game healthy. I care more about, quite frankly, my own mental health from this game. And trying not to take it too seriously. Because the Chiefs, all throughout this season, have been making plays in games and winning games almost as fraudulently as possible. Patrick Mahomes has legitimately looked bad in games, and they are somehow still 9-0. They've been beating teams and fan bases in frustrating ways. That's the problem. So when I say voodoo, wizardry, and BS, that is because that's what the Chiefs have been this year.
It is. It's kind of ridiculous, honestly. I watch those games, and I'm like, hey, you know what? They're going to win this one. That Denver one, I was very much hoping Bo Nix would be able to get the job done, and they essentially did.
The Bills are one of the best scoring teams in the National Football League. As a matter of fact, they've gone four straight games scoring 30 or more points.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs have scored 30 points quite literally one time this year, and they needed overtime to do it.
Right.
So
they seem beatable on the surface.
As a logical fan, I'm not scared of this game. I'm also not overhyping this game because it is exactly what it is at this point. It is a regular season football game with an opportunity to pull closer to the one seed. But until the rest of the NFL stops punching itself in the groin against the Kansas City Chiefs, I might as well kiss away the one seed for this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay. I'm at peace with that already.
I think we were at peace with that. You and I have had this conversation. The Bills are not going for the one seed at the beginning of the season. They went 3-0, subverted everyone's expectations, lost in a big way to Baltimore, and then close one in Houston. They're 8-2 right now. Best start since 1993. But at the same time, I never really had a one seed as an expectation for the season, so I wouldn't be upset if it didn't happen.
Exactly.
You're winning your division. Right?
You're winning your division by a lot.
By a lot right now. And I'm not saying that can't get close. God forbid anything crazy happens, right? But at this point, you're going to the playoffs where you're at right now.
If the right things happen, the Bills could have a 6-game lead on the division.
Yeah. You're going to the playoffs.
With 6 games left.
Mm-hmm.
So you already have the inside track. I'm pretty sure if everything goes right, the Bills could all but clinch it before Thanksgiving.
Allen's on track to beat a record, too. Number of wins in a quarterback's first certain number of years. Russell Wilson's at like 75. He's at 71.
You know what's interesting, though, is that wins are not a quarterback stat.
They're not. It is interesting, but technically, I guess it is okay, counted. But
so here's the thing. I know the Bills can beat them, and I will say the same thing if they meet in the playoffs. I also know that they have a problem with the playoffs. I was a little too edgy on the approach earlier in the week, more or less like, I don't care about this game at all. Just get out of it healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my reasons for it was, I don't care about what happens here tomorrow. I care about what happens in January. And I would take losing this game in the most blindingly dumb way possible to ensure that we get something back as a fan base and the Bills get their blood in the playoffs. Jeremy said something and said more or less, he said, you don't get to make that deal. And he's right. That said, my priorities about this team are higher. I don't care about this game being lauded as game of the week. It's another game. And that's the big deal. Is that this is another game. Get out of this game as healthily as you can. Get your bye week.
Mm-hmm.
Get your guys back.
Right, because San Francisco is a little bit scarier now coming out of the bye week with Christian McCaffrey, too.
Now, but here's the bigger part. Ready? You come out of a late bye week, week 12. And now you're prepared for the stretch run that every year you dominate. Calendar flips to November. The Bills are typically one of the best teams in football.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go. Calendar into December, they run through it all. And I'll tell you right now, hey, guess what? 5 games after the bye week are played in December. It's where the Bills are at their best.
Right, and they're playing the AFC least for multiple
the last
of them.
3 games
yeah.
of it. But you're playing the NFC in 3 of those games straight, mm-hmm. and then you're finishing with New England, the Jets, New England.
NFC's some of NFC's best, by the way.
The NFC's best. Mm-hmm. You've got the Niners coming out of the bye week.
Mm-hmm. Who are getting
at
healthier.
On Sunday Night Football.
The Rams are meh.
The Rams are bad.
Yeah.
Honestly. And then Detroit is
a Super Bowl contender.
And Detroit is probably your best opponent left.
That's going to be a really... I cannot wait for that game. That's going to be a good one.
But why am I looking ahead and I'm overlooking Kansas City? Because this game, ultimately, I don't know if it matters. The only benefit I could see winning this game right now is, yeah, you can have conversations about the one seed again, but ultimately it means you're kind of cementing yourself for the two. That is the biggest benefit you could have from this, is cementing yourself in the two seed inside track. Because the strangest thing is happening right now. Pittsburgh holds the lead in the North. The Texans have kind of fallen off ever since beating the Bills. They're
very much so. They also have second half collapses in the biggest way possible. They win in the first half and lose it in the second half.
And the Texans have probably the biggest, not second biggest, I should say, shoe-in of a division. The Bills right now, it is. Let's call a spade a spade. The AFC least is absolutely what's happening below Buffalo.
Yes. But they have one more win combined, all three of them, than the Bills do just themselves on the season.
It's bad.
Yeah.
So, but the South has never been that much better as of late. The Colts are the biggest threat to the Texans, and they're sitting there at the 8th seed at 4-6. So let me do it. The thing is, I just realized we're over time on this break. So I have to ask this question later.
Okay.
Probably in the 1 o'clock segment. But ask yourselves, before we get back to it, who are the teams that the Bills and the Chiefs are likely to play within the second round of the playoffs? And the answers will be very similar. And we'll break more of that down coming up on the other side here. Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, coming in with you. Plenty more of Bills, Chiefs, and anything else you want to talk about right here on WGR. Welcome back. Last segment here of hour number two, Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you on a nice fall afternoon. You know, it's not overly cloudy.
Starting to get brisk out there.
It is brisk out there, but it's also mid-November.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
If it's not, we should have a problem and raise it to everyone here.
Yeah. No, if you've heard the meteorologists around the area this week, it's very much like this week's the threshold. We could see some snow. Welcome. Orchard Park saw a little bit of a dusting.
Welcome back to the normalcy of mid-November.
Yeah.
Like, if we didn't get
it's
this
by
now.
It's not normal, though. The Sabres haven't collapsed yet.
Stop it.
Knocked on wood.
Stop it.
It's not a normal November yet.
I know, but like that's not nice. But also, they deserve it. But also, it hurt my feelings.
Or the Bills haven't collapsed yet.
It hurt my feelings.
They normally go on a nice lull. Remember, they were 500 at this point last season.
Oh,
remember how fun that was?
God, that was awful.
Yeah.
And what woke up their season? Beating the Chiefs.
Right. Ken Dorsey wasn't Ken Uff. Came out right around the Barbie movie, if you remember.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was like perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just Ken.
Yeah,
and now
yeah,
he's elevating and dealing with Kadarius Toney on the Browns practice squad.
Yeah, and now he's got a those fans are already sick of him.
Kadarius Toney?
Dorsey.
Oh, Dorsey? I don't see how you couldn't be.
Yeah.
He's doing the same stuff he did here.
All right. So, do you want me to channel Howard Simon real quick?
Sure.
Time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. That's right. I'm taking a call when we should be going to break, and we're going to go to Steve in Boston, New York. Steve, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
What you got for us?
I understand what you guys are saying, but why can't we just sweep the Chiefs? Win this game, win the playoff game, if it happens. I'm getting, it's sad about our injuries, but that happens. I like to take them down both games. I still want to go for that one seed. I don't know what you guys feel.
Steve, I appreciate that, and thank you for the call.
I'd love to sweep the Chiefs. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I wouldn't be.
What I'm doing is kind of protecting myself from whatever dumb ending the Chiefs are going to have for them ready in store.
Yeah, another blocked field goal attempt to win the game,
yes,
or something like that, right?
Whatever happened in Denver, or like a toe goes out of bounds on a game-winning touchdown catch. Like,
or someone lines up offsides.
The way that they're beating teams this year is frustrating, and what I'm trying to do a little bit is protect myself.
Expect disappointment, you'll never be disappointed.
Yes.
You got to pad the walls a little bit here.
I'm not doomerizing this game.
I think they can win this game.
Able to win. It's just, I'm not going to be upset if they don't.
No, because, the one seed, like we were saying, the one
seed
would be great.
You kiss the one seed goodbye.
But
you
kiss it goodbye.
Game.
It's done.
It's done.
When they go 10 and 0, it's over.
Yeah, if they're 10-0 and the next best team is sitting there at 8-3, but then they also have a paper soft schedule to end the year.
Mm-hmm. And they have the tiebreaker. They beat the Ravens and you.
Ready? Here are their last seven. Buffalo, Carolina,
yeah, yikes.
The Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Raiders could get interesting.
No.
Divisional games could.
They did this already.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was like interesting for 5 minutes.
It was interesting for like three quarters, but then the Raiders raided. The Chargers, who I will never trust.
No. As much as I love Justin Herbert, they got to figure that out.
The
there.
Browns. Mm. Houston, who again is kind of falling apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, probably their only tougher game that isn't Buffalo on the schedule.
Yeah.
And Denver.
That Pittsburgh, though, you got to see how they do in their second half of the season.
Yes.
Their schedule beefs up a little bit.
But what I'm saying is they're actually good. The Bills, out of the bye week, San Francisco, LA out west, and Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're in the buzzsaw part of their schedule now.
Yeah. Their schedule's just been harder all season, I think, the Bills.
Yes.
The way it is, you know?
Again, that's why I'm kind of just protecting myself a little bit, and I know mm-hmm. that's selfish, but like...
No. I'd love to see them win. I think they can win, but...
They can win.
You got to pad the walls.
I'm just not going to be upset if the Chiefs pull off some, like, weird voodoo,
mm-hmm.
which they've been doing all year.
You need to mentally prepare.
The Saints have had more time this season with the lead
than the Chiefs.
The 3-7 New Orleans Saints have more time with the lead this year than the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's,
I know,
just
a lot
such
of that
an obnoxious
has,
stat. Like,
but
that
I also
is
know
so frustrating.
A lot of that has to do with they blew out the Cowboys and the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in control the entire game. So like those are entire games where they have the lead.
Yeah.
But that also tells you what the Chiefs are doing, which is plodding along.
Yeah, they're just getting lucky and moving through. It's like,
yeah,
it's like when you're on a run at the blackjack table. You know it's going to come to an end at some point, but you're still just kind of running with it.
But what does it mean in the playoff scenario? And that's the part that I want to dive into coming up next here.
Mm-hmm. Some percentages out there. They're
percentages, but also matchups that are going to look very similar heading into the other side of this in the postseason if things continue the way that they are. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Evans on the board. One more hour of Sports Talk Saturday coming up for you here on WGR.